real mess.
But what's happening, I think, is all I wanted was, and this is what I was tweeting when you came in, was all I ask is that you ask. And I think Republican voters for the first time are like, huh. Like, they're asking the question. They're still siding with Trump, but they're like, I don't know. I'm going to pay attention to this guy. And I, that's all I've ever asked.
I heard some really great conversation yesterday because I went out and got myself some breakfast, you know, at a just a little bar. Has great. It has good chicken fried steak. I like it.
Mm.
So, like, you know, they're older, you know, I would say probably 60s. Bunch of white dudes, probably work construction or, you know, at least in manual labor. And they get on the subject of, you know, all of this shit. And they get one of them asked, well, did you vote for Trump? And he goes, I've been a Republican voter my entire life and I couldn't vote for Trump in the last election. Didn't vote for Biden either.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land.
The promised land.
And finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
Problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
Because that is how it works. This is the beginning, it is not the finale, and that's why we're here, and that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Franklin, I know we've got to do something.
Hello. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Public Access America. You know my name is Jason. You know his name is Jeffrey. We get together once a week to talk about a week, and this is a week to talk about, and I'm so glad to have you here. You know what I was thinking? Here's where we benefit where other outlets don't. We get to wait till the end of the week until all the information comes in, and then we get to talk about it as opposed to going, oh, there's a nugget. Let's extrapolate everything we can out of that. You know what I mean? So thanks for being here, Jeffrey. Normally what we do is we do the hi, how are yous in the first hour, but then that takes up all of the current event time, and I want to get to the current events because they're so exciting.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a week.
It has, and are we agreed that we should just start with Melania's husband, former president, Saudi ambassador, and current Snowden wannabe, Donald Trump, and the search, raid, invasion of the Florida White House?
You know, let's be real honest. This is a shocker. And yeah, we're not going to pretend that it's not, you know. So I worked on the criminal and civil side a lot of times in federal court.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, like, getting a search warrant from the feds, like, I here's the thing, is I don't want to make it sound like it's easy, because it certainly can be easy to get a search warrant. But getting a federal judge to sign off on it is the part that's not easy.
Right.
And that's what people need to understand here. Like, you know, this, so like, let's start with the obvious. Was the judge biased? Okay. So, in his previous, in like, I want to say 2008, 2012, the dude, or maybe just 2008, the dude donated to Barack Obama's campaign.
Ooh.
But his last political donation, because, you know, remember, this is something that actually gets kept. You know, there are records of this. Who do you think he donated to?
Donald Trump. Ron DeSantis.
No.
Joe Biden?
No.
Nobody?
You were in the right party. You were in the right party in the beginning.
Ted Cruz? I can't think of anybody else.
Think of another Florida man, except he's not as crazy as Florida man.
Matt Gaetz? 2016. Rick Scott? Jeb Bush?
Jeb Bush!
There you go.
So, I mean, the dude donated towards an establishment Republican. You know,
well, those were actually the progressive Republicans at the time.
Exactly. So, you know, you think about it. This is a guy who, you know, I wouldn't say he voted for Obama because we don't know, but he donated to Obama. And when that didn't work, he decided, you know what, I think I'd rather go Republican. And he donated to a Republican candidate. Now, that candidate didn't work out. So let's toss aside, you know, he hates the GOP. It's clearly right. He doesn't. He donated money to them.
But he's not a California judge. He's a Florida judge.
He's a Florida judge. So let's continue on that realm. So, you know, you could say that he's a never Trumper, and without knowing anything about the guy, that's always entirely possible. You know, and I would say that the dude, you know, by sticking with an establishment Republican candidate, you know, it was a smart move on his part, because it does show, you know, it does show that he disagreed with the way things went during the Obama era and decided that, you know, life needed a more conservative twist on it.
He could just be impartial, a technocrat. He could be somebody that's just donating because that's the thing to do at the time. And he doesn't really have a political leaning one way or another, which is 95% of most judges.
Exactly. And that's what you want from a judge, is somebody who doesn't have a political leaning. And so by that stance, I would argue that he's very, you know, I would call him a centrist candidate, you know, a centrist judge. If anything, he's middle of the road, which is, you know, really where you want a judge.
In a right-leaning state. So if all factors added up, he might be slightly right of center.
Maybe. Exactly. And you know what? I've dealt with plenty of judges like that, and that's perfectly fine. You know, it's because there are times when, you know, like as we've talked about, you want the Constitution to be interpreted a little bit liberally. There are times you want it to be interpreted a bit conservatively. And, you know, being truly neutral is always impossible, you know, really just impossible, because...
Of course.
You know, no matter how you interpret things, you're always going to include your own bias into it.
If we wanted impartiality in the court system, we would just use a supercomputer, but we don't. Mm-hmm. Because we need that human aspect. We need somebody to look beyond the facts, you know, sometimes.
Right. So that moves us into, you know, the next piece of this. What does it take to get a judge to sign off on, now let's remember the type of warrant it was. It wasn't just a general search warrant. This was a probable cause warrant.
Right.
Meaning that they had reason to believe that a crime was being committed. Okay. What does that mean? Well, from your everyday criminal side of things, that means that you've observed something. That means that you've spoken with somebody who has observed something, and they've brought in you some type of evidence or proof, because you can't just take somebody's word for it. That's hearsay. You know, literally then all the benchmark would be is, you know, I would go to the FBI and say, you know, I have reason to believe Jason is downloading creepy hentai on his computer. And
right.
Not that that's illegal.
You can use an informant, but it has to be current information. It can't be old information.
It has to be current information, and there has to be some type of proof attached to it, which is why you commonly have the wore a wire, wore a body cam. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be some level of proof that is irrefutable to the word.
Right.
So that means that somebody had information, potentially, that there were all of these boxes, and there was some level of proof that was handed over to say, look, here's how I know this is true.
Right.
Now, let's flash back. I forget how many months, couple months, 3 months. April, I think it was. This is where this gets fun. So, NARA, the National Archives.
Yeah, I love them, by the way.
You know, it's weird that, you know, out of everybody who's tried, it's fucking librarians that have managed to stick Trump. Pays right. to read, I guess.
And our first five seasons are mainly content from the National Archives on the Internet Archive.
With this, basically, what you have going on is that all records that are produced, all notes, everything that is produced by a president is to be kept by the National Archives.
Why?
Well, it's the little thing that, Jason, you and I absolutely love. Transparency.
Wow.
And guess what? Guess where all of those archives are stored?
I don't know that.
Now, you do know that, but you probably don't realize it. You ever thought, why is it that every time that there's a president, they build a library named after the president?
Is that where they're stored?
Yeah. So the National Archives then keep all of the records of that president, and they keep them stored in a library that is handled by the federal government.
Well, that answers the Republican thing that, well, they're hiding Obama's records too, or the National Archive is hiding specifically Obama's stuff. It isn't. It's in his library, right?
Yes, in Chicago.
Right, not in a basement in Mar-a-Lago, but like actually in a library.
In a federally controlled library, because it's pursuant to, you know, federal statute.
True. And it's also because, Jeffrey, every time you pay a dollar to the government, it's placing ownership in the government. So when they ask you for taxes, what they're saying is this is your property. Every document produced, you own because you paid your taxes. So you own that. That's not Donald Trump's personal property.
Correct.
You paid for the paper. You paid for the ink. You paid for his time per hour. So you deserve to keep this stuff.
Exactly. And as somebody who's a firm believer in transparency, you know, I wish there was more transparency than there currently is, but, you know.
I'm glad there's more than there was.
Exactly. So when the whole Obama thing, you know, that he decided to spout off about, NARA responded back to, it wasn't moved in secret. It's in his library in Chicago, in the National Archives Library.
It is.
So there's, you know, number one, more bullshit. That's not true. It's like, it's available, you know, except for the stuff that is obviously like classified, top secret, requires a major security clearance, things that but those things eventually do get declassified and released. I think the term is like 60 years or something like that.
Classifications change all the time. Hillary Clinton had a server at home and there was an email on it. There was one email on it out of all the emails they found, and it was marked confidential. People told everybody that was classified, because after they found it on her server, they said, well, now there's a big stink about this. We better up the classification. And they made it classified. And then everybody was like, she was hiding classified stuff. She was in the wrong for using a personal server. That she was. And she broke devices. She bleached her server. She did not show transparency, and that was wrong, as wrong as what's possibly going on right now.
Exactly. And that's, you know, and that's the first thing that somebody said to me is, I was like, well, what about Hillary's? And I'm like, well, fuck that too. That was wrong too. Like, I'm not here to play what about. That was also wrong, but we're focused on this right now.
That argument would hold up if Donald Trump had said, look, what Hillary did was a mistake, but we got to let her be. We got to move on.
Well, then, that's not even it, Jason. It's that the Republicans, when they held both the House and the Senate and the presidency, dug into this, and then they decided not to do anything about it. So they had that ball in their court. They investigated it, and they chose not to do anything about it. So they already had that choice, and they said nothing. They said
that's
nope.
Right.
So but they could have. We can't even. What about that anymore?
But they could. Well, their defense is, what about Hillary? The truth is you can't.
They made
say,
it. There's no what about. They made the decision. They had that ball. There is no what about anymore.
But now they're asking for leniency for Trump. Right? They're like, just put it past you. Just move on from that. But you didn't move on from Hillary. So we're just.
They never moved on from Hillary after they decided to move on from Hillary.
That's right. So why would Democrats move on from Trump? If the precedent was already set to investigate this type of stuff, why wouldn't they do it for Trump?
At least Hillary nuked her fucking servers as much as she could. Well, or somebody did, whatever.
But Trump could say move on if he had said move on from Hillary. If the Republicans had said don't give a fuck about Hillary, they could now say don't give a fuck about Trump because we said don't give a fuck about Hillary. But they said investigate her, lock her up. So now the Democrats are like,
all right,
turnabout's fair play, you know?
Well, and especially because, you know, in the wake of what happened with Hillary, there was a bunch of laws that were signed about handling of government information and documentation. Right. And guess who signed those into law?
Who?
Well, the person that is currently being investigated and had a bunch of boxes. Like, the dude literally signed the law. He literally made the fucking noose that he's hanging himself with.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. I love it.
That's the wild part in this. Like, the dude literally signed the law that said, don't ever do this again. You know, he made it tougher to do this. Now, I agree in full that it should be tougher to do this. However, you know, when you go and do it yourself afterwards and you're like, dude, you literally created the fucking law. This is typical Republicans. It's like they created all of these mail-in voting laws because they wanted to be able to get older, you know, older citizens to vote because older citizens typically vote Republican.
Right.
And then they got pissed when they lost because they lost you with the mechanism that they created. Pennsylvania, Arizona, all these other fucking places. They lost using the mechanisms that they created.
Right.
Now, Wisconsin is a whole different story because they never really clarified whether or not mail-in, you know, was it mail-in or drop boxes or something? I forget what it was, were allowed. And so now, you know, and that's, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But
yeah, I mean, that's a whole, that's a slippery slope. So, okay.
Well, it's one of those things like you can't be pissed when somebody doesn't break a law that doesn't exist. But is actually now, if you look at it under the lens of current, is now breaking the law. And right. That was the problem. Under the lens of the laws that existed in 2016, Hillary wasn't necessarily breaking the law. I would make the argument she was, because those documents were technically within her possession. They were not safe. They were not encrypted. They were not,
right.
A number of things they weren't.
Right.
I conservatively would make the argument she was in violation of the law as it stood at the time. That, unfortunately, was not how that played out. But when it was clarified in later years and signed into law, it is very clear that what has been done is illegal. And I don't know how to tell you. Right. It's like, you can't be pissed that he's being taken to court under laws he created, like under laws he signed, I should say, under laws that
right.
He signed. Like that, like, honestly, like if I created a law and then I ended up breaking it and somebody brings me, what's like, well, the law's working as it's intended.
What I think is Republicans looking at it from their point of view is, how would we do this? How would we investigate a former president? And I think they see how they would do it, and they're like, that's how the Democrats are doing it, and they're like, oh, I can see the criminality in it. It isn't. It's just step 1, 2, 3, and 4, it seems like, for Merrick Garland. Like, this is the next step. What am I supposed to do? We asked, right? They asked in January, February, March, April, June. They asked for this, and there's a piece of paper that says, we have no more documents, and then they get a tip that there's more documents, so they go in and look for them. Yep. At any time, somebody could have opened the safe for the FBI. At any time, they could have walked them around. There wasn't FBI jackets. There wasn't a SWAT team. It was just some guys in two-piece suits walking around looking for information that could be catastrophic, you know? And I don't know what that information is. There's a lot of speculation in there, and I'm going to say that I don't know what it is, but
they really haven't said what it is. And there's probably a really good reason as to why. And what I would say, what I have seen that has been credible has been that there's a bunch of stuff that is, you know,
designations, right?
Designated as confidential,
specialized, compartmentalized,
and top secret. So that, I mean, I think, you know,
but
that's even hard to say. Like, I'm
correct
as somebody who had worked in federal courts, to see what exactly is on all of those documents. Literally, you would be either having to get that information from Trump's lawyer.
Right.
Or you would have to be getting that information from Merrick Garland at this point. And neither of them have released what exactly was taken. Mm-hmm. And neither of them, I mean, wisely should.
Right.
Simply because, you know, there's a lot, you know, we don't know what's in there. And, you know, if there really were nuclear secrets, I really don't want the general public to have access to that information. Right. Because if we have access to it, anybody else has access to it, and that's a problem.
These classifications change from like classified, confidential, open, top secret. Those change, but the special compartmentalized stuff is compartmentalized for a reason, because it needs more than just one person's executive decision to declassify or reclassify it. Nuclear information has to be declassified by the Department of Energy. The president can't just do that, right? And like these intercepts, they're calling them like phone taps and stuff around the world and all that stuff, that can't be just declassified by one man. That's national intelligence, and has to go through a cycle, you know? Yep. What I mean, So the people are saying, well, you know, everybody knows this information in Washington. No, they don't. They have really access to it. They can read it if they need it. But that doesn't mean that I or my Chinese counterpart in Beijing, Panda Ping, needs to see it.
Well, and here's where people need to understand is that there's a difference between we have a pretty good idea of what's being done versus we know exactly what's being sent. Right. There's a huge difference. Of course, we know that phones are being tapped. I mean, you'd have to be living under a fucking rock to think that that's not happening. It's right. The content of what is in there that we, you know, the general public don't know. And right. That could
and
be
means
any...
and methods.
Exactly. You know, well, I mean, we have a better idea on means and methods, you know, but that was 10 years ago and things
changed. Well, we had somebody in the Russian government, and then Trump let it slip that we had somebody there, and we lost that. Yep. And that really sucks. And that's why means and methods are important, because if we know where Vladimir Putin's going to go, we won't step on his toes getting to where we need to be. But once we don't know what's going on, war breaks out, you know, because we just don't know what's going on.
Right.
But this classified information, whatever it was, goes above and beyond. It isn't even in paper form most of the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
So to have it in paper form is just really weird to me in and of itself.
There's something more comforting about having something in paper form in a way, simply because it's, you know, if you have a document in paper form, at least in current standards, if you want, you know, if you want somebody to get a copy of it, yeah, it's not great. All you got to have is, you know, one of these smartphones and you can take a picture of a document. They've got great clarity now and you can email whatever you want around the world, you know. And you can put it into electronic format. But if you're in a place where it's harder to have a phone, because let's be real honest, if you think Donald Trump is allowing just anybody to have a phone in Mar-a-Lago and in his residence, you're crazy. Like,
and you can't go in a skiff with a phone.
So there's always a really good chance that, at least from a paper trail side of things, you know, you have a much more difficult time getting copies. Now, if you have somebody who's highly intelligent and can memorize what's in a document, then yeah, you know, it's certainly not great, but you know, it's not as terrible as just straight up handing it to the fucking Russians or to the Chinese.
But it's dead intelligent. I mean, it's dead-ended intelligence.
If
the information evolves after that, your paper doesn't. You know what I mean?
Well, think about it from an analytical perspective, though. If you have a perception of where you think your enemy is, and you obtain a document, let's say it's 10 years old, maybe it proves it, or maybe it shows how wrong your assumption is. That allows you to readjust your intelligence models to be more up to date, and put you into a closer proximity to what your assessments are. Yeah. That was one of the things, like going back to the Cold War. You know, I think it was Project Azorian was the name of it. We weren't sure what Russia's capabilities completely were when it came to their nuclear missiles at the time. And when a Russian nuclear sub sunk and the Russians couldn't find it, we ended up dredging the thing up from, I mean, an insane depth. And we didn't get the whole sub, but we were able to get enough information that showed the Soviets were actually really far behind compared to where we thought they were. Now, that was impressive in and of itself. And it allowed us to adjust our defensive posture based on, you know, the fact that they couldn't hit us the way that we thought they could.
We didn't need long range missile protection from short range missiles. Yeah,
exactly. So it allowed us to adjust our defensive models to be, you know, to be more accurate and understand like whether we were, you know, whether we needed better short range protection capabilities versus long range protection. You can, and so you can absolutely get very valuable information on stuff that, you know, I would, you know, in the age of the internet, we would think 10 years old is, you know, fucking broke, but in the age of government technology, there's not a whole lot different, let's say, between an M1 Abrams today versus 10 years ago. There really isn't.
Getting our 10-year-old nuclear weapons information is probably still an upgrade for like a Saudi Arabia. Exactly. And that's what I was worried about, because months ago there was a story, maybe years ago, about Jared Kushner wanting to sell our nuclear information to Saudi Arabia. I talked about that and you were like, they can't do that. And this is what I thought of. When I heard the word nuclear, I stopped in my tracks and thought about this new Saudi ambassador, Donald Trump.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what worried me. Aside from everything else, giving the Saudis nuclear capabilities like that.
And that's scared me. Well, and that's the and that's the tough part about this is that, you know, can we just sell our nuclear technology? No, we really can't. Can you fuck up and hand it away? Yeah, you certainly can.
Right.
You know,
but I do hope they get nuclear reactor technology for energy so that we can cut down on their drilling of oil. You know, like I'm all in favor of that.
And that's something we can talk about in the second hour. There's actually that's some really neat stuff going on there.
Infrastructure Act, yeah, or whatever.
So now here's the other thing. How else would you potentially prove that a crime had taken place, Jason?
Well, they have a list of all the documents, and then they received some, they checked them off, and then they received some more and checked them off, but they were still missing some obvious ones. Like,
but you stepped on the very obvious. How do you know that a crime has taken place?
I don't know.
Well, the NARA had said, hey, you have a bunch of documents that, and you're in violation of federal law. Those documents need to be turned over.
Boom. You're in violation of federal law.
And he turned over documents. That was proof that, you know, he had violated the law.
Right.
Period. So right there, you have probable cause. Yeah, you have a broken law and you have probable cause. That would be like an undercover cop going up to a dealer and, you know, saying, you know, thinking that he's probably selling heroin or fentanyl, but you're like, hey, sell me some weed.
Right.
And so by selling the guy some weed, you now have probable cause that he's dealing drugs. And so now you can find more based on
that. Your car smells like weed. Let me look in your trunk. Yep.
And so that's basically what it was, is that by turning over the documents, he had proved that he had violated federal law.
Right.
And by that, you know, now it's easier to get a probable cause warrant to show, hey, we know that he has broken this law. He has turned over this documentation because he wasn't supposed to have it to begin with.
Right. The same way Julian Assange or Snowden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the same thing. They had documents they shouldn't have.
Yep.
So Reality Winner, right? That was the other one.
Yep.
So people steal documents and they get in trouble for it all the time. Donald Trump isn't above that law. Like, it's scarier that somebody that has contacts around the globe, has this information available and a grievance with the country. You know what I mean?
Right. And so that's one of the things that we all have to keep in mind in this situation is that, you know, it wasn't like 2016 when we still had decent relationship with the Russian government.
Right.
And the Chinese government at the time. Now, granted, Trump's not exactly going to go to Xi Jinping and hand over stuff. He has no love for China.
Right.
But on the other hand, a government that we're currently supplying weapons against certainly would have need for that information.
Right. And again, Saudi Arabia and him are good friends. And they don't like that Israel has this stuff and Iran has this stuff, and they don't.
Well, you know, I think they're less concerned about Israel at this point because they do have diplomatic relationships now.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That, I think, was probably one of the biggest winners of the Trump administration that, you know, really goes unsung, is the fact that you had a bunch of Arab countries establish diplomatic relationships with Israel.
Yeah.
But I think, too, there's also like the enemy of my enemy kind of thing, because, you know, Iran is supplying, you know, all of these different proxies with weapons. And so, you know, in the need to take on Iran, Saudi Arabia and these other countries have seen, you know, that there is a value in befriending Israel, because Israel has a lot of advanced tech. Israel has a lot of people that are ready and willing to take on Iran. And they have a lot of tech that they could potentially sell to Saudi Arabia to protect them, because let's remember that, you know, the Saudis have had pipelines hit by drones that are Iranian made. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having stuff like, you know, Iron Dome, having stuff like what Israel's working on right now with the laser dome.
Yeah, right.
That stuff right there, you know, is very valuable to Saudi Arabia's current mm-hmm. profitability and existence, and especially as they look to move into Saudi Arabia 2.0.
I'm or, not as or down 3.0. On... I've never been as down on Israel as every or on Iran as everybody else. Everyone thinks the seem they need to be constricted into death, and I think we should just let it go. But they're in a couple of our stories coming up as well, so
right.
We're not gonna
dig into that quite yet.
Right. But so Donald Trump had paperwork. He Snowdened it. He brought him home. He had it. They said we want it back. He didn't give them back. Like, this was a month-long process of trying to get these papers, and they were pretty nice about it in ways that they wouldn't be to you or I, right?
Right. Exactly. You know, because, you know, we didn't necessarily, you know, there was some, how do I put this? We had a pretty good idea of what there was, but we didn't have a perfect idea of what there was.
Right.
And that's the thing is that, you know, this is where that whole concept of executive privilege comes in. There's a certain amount of information that the president has access to at any given time that, you know, you may not necessarily know what is in a particular file. There could be more, there could be less. And right. I think that's where, you know, all of these pundits are, you know, going is they're going on the more route. It's like, oh God, there's nuclear secrets. And I'm like, well,
maybe,
you know, right.
That's the part I don't want to speculate on what was in the papers. That's where Democrats always get ahead of their skis. It's right. Nuclear codes. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was just something random, you know?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's hard to say. And on top of that, I really don't think that the general public is going to know what those documents were. And right. And I don't think, I really think that the general public needs to understand that you're probably not going to know what it was that, you know, was stored there.
He already broke a law. So he
broke a law that he signed.
Right. So I don't have an issue with it.
I don't either. Like, yeah. It's like if Joe Biden did the same thing, great. Fucking try him too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So send the FBI to Joe Biden's house. Let him go through it. You know, what people forget is that everybody's being investigated all the time. And all it takes is a tip to get that started, you know?
Yeah. All it takes is a tip. All it takes is just enough information that's irrefutable.
Uh-huh.
And that's what does it. Like I was something.
That's what Hunter's feeling right now.
Right. So something I was seeing this morning was is that there was surveillance video of these boxes being moved after this last letter saying, we know you have more documents, turn them over.
Right. They did request the video footage of that. So
realistically, like if, you know, with that, once again, you know, if he got that letter and then they're like moving stuff to hide it around, guess what? Once again, probable cause. We know you have it. You've broken a law. Now, the real question is whether or not this has been a violation of the Espionage Act. Now, this is where shit gets tough.
Republicans are like, oh, now Democrats are defending the Espionage Act. And Rand Paul says, defund the FBI and get rid of the Espionage Act.
I just wanted to say that the irony post January 6th of Back the Blue has been really fucking rich.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Defund the Capitol Police, don't fund local police, and now defund the FBI.
If you would have told me that Biden was going to be the one that was funding the cops more, I would have laughed in your fucking face.
Oh, yeah.
But here we are.
I love the fact that there's this mushroom cloud of rhetoric, like defund the police, and we just go, you know, that's funny because that isn't what happened at all. And we just shove it back down. What is the Espionage Act and why shouldn't Democrats, it's a law, why shouldn't Democrats just not care?
So now the Espionage Act was signed into law during World War I. The idea was to clamp down on the enemy's ability to get information to use that on the battlefield. Now, the battlefield has changed significantly since the days of World War I. I don't know who needs to hear this, but I need to remind you that, you know, battlefield isn't just physical space on a map anymore. It's economic. It is...
It's ransomware on our fucking pipelines, right?
It's internet, it's cyber, it's well beyond just what exists on the physical plane here and now.
It's satellite killing technology in Russia. It's everything.
Exactly. So the idea was is that, you know, when it came to documents, they needed to be handled in a certain way in order to avoid the enemy getting a handle of those documents, either taking them or making copies and getting them back to whoever in order to make real-time decisions.
We can all agree our secrets should remain ours.
Yeah, I mean, I paid for our information. I don't really want, you know, if it was the Prussians at the time or the Germans at the time or the Vietnamese at the time or the Soviets or currently the Russians.
It's a separate discussion on how much transparency we as Americans have, how much we get to look at that information. And when it's made public for us, it's another story to say, I don't care if Russia learns what we learn, you know.
Exactly. So that's, you know, so does it need to be updated? The law is over 100 years old. Right. It probably needs a few updates to include some things. I'm gonna guess.
I read it and I have no issue with the wording of it. If you just can't damage America, don't damage America by giving our secrets away, basically.
Right. But here's the thing about the Espionage Act. The Espionage Act opens the doorway to treason.
Right.
And Jason, what is the penalty for treason?
Death.
Yep.
Wow.
So, especially if we're at war, if we're at war. Now, we're not at war with Russia, technically.
Mm-mm. No, we're not at war. Thank God Biden ended our last forever war. So congratulations, America, on that. You know, that's something MAGA and Democrats wanted. So I like that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm good with ending wars. I mean, it was a shit show, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Biden had it right. You know, we should have been out 10 years ago, and throwing another 10 years of funding at it wasn't going to fix the problem.
Right. And telling the Taliban 6 months ahead of time that we were going to leave on a very specific date was asininely stupid. So,
yep.
I mean, that's why it looked like a shit show, is because we told everybody in the country, come and take your country on this day, and they did.
yeah, they did, and it wasn't even fucking close.
Right, and so, that's a later question in my note as well. Did we do the right thing in Afghanistan? Yeah. So, the FBI walked in with backpacks. Did they bring information in? They planted the information that they're now claiming Trump had. Let's start there, because I think that was the first defense that Donald Trump raised.
This is what I love about this whole. Well, the FBI is planning. Oh, the cops planning.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about this. This isn't just some drug bust in Baltimore. And I bring that up very specifically because there were a bunch of Baltimore cops, I want to say a couple years ago, that got arrested because they'd been planting drugs on people for, I want to say it was like 20 years.
Well, there's a reason it's an excuse, because the excuse rings true in some ways in some communities.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened. It has. It absolutely has.
Warren Buffett isn't getting pulled over by the police and, you know, having some cocaine in his car.
Right. Exactly. So the idea that the feds brought in a bunch of information is just laughable at best. Like,
I agree.
Like, this is the kind of shit that conspiracy theorists love. You know, everybody wanted the cops to be, you know, respected, and they have the authority, and fuck yeah, cops. And then the moment you're the target of their fucking investigation, fuck you. The cops are, you know, the cops are corrupt. And I'm like, you know, or you could just like take a nice center of the road opinion on cops and be like, I don't trust them. They're not there to make, you know, they're not there to keep me safe. They're there to prove whether or not there's a case.
Right.
Fuck me. It don't matter what I think. It's that they have a job to do. Their job is to either clear me or charge me. Take your pick.
Yeah. I look at it as like a breakup, right? There's a couple of exes. One ex says, I want my sweaters and all my stuff back. And the guy's like, all right, and gives the sweaters back. And the girl says, well, I really want those pictures you have of me. And he's like, I don't have them. And she's like, yeah, you do. And it's the same thing between Trump and the government. You have some of our stuff. All right, here it is. Can we get our secret stuff back? I don't have it. Yeah, you do. I don't have it. Dad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, okay. But then So Donald Trump admitted he had the stuff. So saying it was planted was kind of silly anyway, because he has every right to have it, because his next one was that he had declassified it anyway. So it doesn't matter what they found or what they planted, because it had all been declassified anyway.
Well, and that's where, you know, there's, you have the running question of when was it declassified? And if the answer is that he declassified it after he was done being president, he didn't have the authority to do that.
Right.
Because he was not the president.
And again, if it's special compartmental, I have a problem with that word, you know.
Compartmentalized.
SCI information, he alone can't just declassify it.
Right.
And by the way, a lot of this stuff he shouldn't declassify, because he has the ability to do it. Doesn't mean that it's in America's best interest for him to do that.
Correct. Okay. And that's, you know, a greater issue than, you know, like I said, I'm a person that enjoys transparency. You know,
I've spent
a lot of tax money. I feel like I am owed some answers in every regard. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if it's Biden. I don't care if it's Obama. Fuck, I don't care if it's the next guy. Like,
right.
If I'm paying taxes, I'm owed answers. I understand that there's probably, I'm probably not going to get every answer that I want, because there's information out there about current ongoing threats to the country. And there has to be a reasonable expectation that there are just some things the average person is never going to know. But unfortunately, you know, one of the things that has been admitted is that overclassification is a real problem.
And that,
you know, there are groups out there that classify everything into, you know, non-existence simply because they can. That also is a problem. Now,
and there's things that are classified that get leaked and they become public, and nobody's gotten around to underclassify them yet too. But Donald Trump wasn't building a website like Julian Assange to put this stuff and make it public because he believed so much in transparency. He wasn't doing that, was he? He was like, this is mine for later use. This isn't the public's. He never thought of it as, well, this is the public's. I want to show people what the government is really doing. Like he said he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He was keeping it for himself. He had no plans on making that public.
Right. And that's the thing about this kind of information is that whether or not you wanted this information to be public, the thing is that there was enough information there that is harmful to this is the key: America or its allies.
That's right.
And so there could very well be information about our allies who currently have a major problem with Russia.
Oh, I agree. But I mean, Snowden had stuff that was detrimental to the country, and
it was detrimental to the country, you know, in some ways, but not in others.
Right. Well, that's
my point. It was detrimental because, you know, we found out that the threshold for being able to spy on American citizens was pretty much next to fucking nothing.
Right. Yeah.
That was wild.
But the point is that people like you and I, or MAGA supporters or Biden supporters, people that haven't seen the information, aren't the ones that should be questioning its classification.
Right, exactly.
Right. And we should be happy that right or left, the Department of Justice is helping to keep our secrets.
It should make us feel comfortable, but at the same time, you know, then we also have to have the conversation at the same time of, you know, were some of these documents overclassified, you know, and that's also a real issue at hand too.
And that's why I brought up the dead end paperwork, because a lot of times it, because of evolution of information, the paper documents are no longer useful. And so by just default, they're out of date.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how to explain, like email chains. Maybe he had some information about Roger Stone that was like dead end information. Like that's not evolving. He has no more investigating.
And the Roger Stone documentation, that should have been public anyways, you know?
Right.
So like, you know, that wouldn't fall under the Espionage Act. That would just fall under your general, you know, mishandling of, you know, or criminal handling of government information.
Unless you're hiding a crime. By taking that information, because somehow it shows that you had a part in the outcome, right?
Well, let's be real clear about what clemency from a presidential pardon looks like.
Yeah, that was pretty public, right?
It's public. It's it's very much a campaign in order to get, you look at like some of the pardons that Kim Kardashian was able to get Trump to do, for example.
Thank God.
You know,
that was a really good one.
There was a good one there. Yeah. So it's, you know, the idea that that a celebrity was able to come in and say, hey, look, you know, this is a problem. We need to pardon this. I'm not necessarily concerned about the presidential pardon, you know, because whether or not, you know, the problem is that there really is no criminal process in pardoning someone. It doesn't matter. You know, even Gerald Ford, when he issued a pardon for Nixon, which raised a stink 50 years ago.
Right.
What did Jerry Ford say about accepting a presidential pardon? Do you remember?
I don't. He just wanted to heal the country at the time.
By accepting a presidential pardon, you're acknowledging guilt in the acts that you've done. Because
I didn't know that was him that said that.
Yep. So,
and you know the ironic thing about
that? So at that point, it doesn't matter, you know, because Roger Stone, by accepting a presidential pardon, has acknowledged he was guilty of doing something. It's just that now he can't be prosecuted for it.
Gerald Ford didn't even know all the information they had on Nixon when he pardoned him. So that's kind of funny that he didn't even read all the classified information that he had access to. So for Donald Trump to have just random intercepts is just weird on its face. But whatever it was, he admitted to a crime when he said, "Yeah, I have these documents."
The giant fucking phallus move would be for Biden to offer Trump a presidential pardon.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Because here's what's going to happen. One of two things. He either doesn't accept the pardon and a case goes forward and there's a chance that he's found guilty. Or he accepts a presidential pardon and then that's an acknowledgement of guilt that you've done something wrong.
The only way he'll get a pardon is if Trump promises to never run again. And I don't think Trump will ever do that. That's where his money maker is.
And that's where I think it would be the fucking funniest thing ever.
Donald Trump not yet announcing his candidacy. Is he still Joe Biden's political rival?
Yes.
Okay. Is Donald Trump Merrick Garland? Is Donald Trump the reason that Merrick Garland didn't get his job on the Supreme Court?
No, that was Mitch McConnell.
That was long before Trump ever came in. Okay, so
yeah.
There is no political rivalry between Merrick Garland and... Okay.
No, and that was Mitch McConnell's doing.
And all the warrant information for this has been made public. The listing of what they were looking for, the listing of what they found, that's all public. But then there's the affidavit, the part to where they explain to the judge why they wanted to go. That's still private. Is that something that should be made public?
Or is that
usually after the indictment and trial? Then all that stuff becomes public.
That one can be after the indictment and trial. Now, in this case, I wouldn't necessarily say it's odd, simply because I would say that the information, you know, depending on who the informant was, very much could be somebody that could be a witness at a trial.
Right.
And so, you know, there's been plenty of speculation that it was Jared Kushner that turned in Trump for this document. There was speculation that it was Melania that did it because she's a score to settle with Trump for the, you know, being so fucking embarrassed by him.
Republicans desperately want to see that information. That's where they're going. They want to see all of the evidence and all the proof, despite the fact that every time they ask for it, Donald Trump could provide it. And it's fucked them every time they say show us more information. It's a deeper hole and they keep doing it.
That's one of those things. It's like Trump could put this all out into the open air if he wanted to.
Right.
Like there's nothing that's stopping him from doing it. He can, you know, it's this kind of information. Like he could royally fuck whoever is the quote unquote informant, if there is one in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but the problem is that it is either going to be really fucking embarrassing for him and or really problematic for him, depending on who it is.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting that people seem to be okay with Donald Trump taking this information. It's just on its on the base, the way Republicans are just, I don't know, like they're against the FBI doing their job, and they're like, if I hate doing that what if-ism, but I can't imagine another president getting caught in this situation and Republicans like being like, it's okay, you know, this
you is can't dangerous imagine, stuff. You can't imagine a Democrat president being caught in this situation and Republicans
up until Donald Trump, I would not have imagined that even a Republican would be able to get away with this.
You shouldn't though, because look at Richard Nixon.
Yeah, he got caught. I mean, even Republicans were like, it's too much, he went too far. Like,
he went too far, and that was the thing. But it took a long time to get to the point of having the Senate turn on him.
Right, two and a half years. 73, and then in 75, he was out.
Yep. So it took that long for the Republican Senate to finally go, you know what, you've hit our threshold. This is way too much. You went way too far.
Yeah. But just when I thought Republicans were like, all right, we're on the off ramp, this happens. And now they're full boat Trump again. Like DeSantis was like, all right, Trump is finally out of the picture. And now everybody's like, I guess we're siding with Trump still. And it kind of fucked the Republican Party up.
Well, and that's the thing is that depending on, you know, how this case plays out, you know, if it's, this is one of those ones where I don't know that this is actually happening, and I have no reason to believe that it is, but one particular article I was reading saying that the Russians are already examining the documents that Trump had, and I'm going,
yeah,
proof. Once again, it's like, I'm not saying it's not possible, but you can't, a lot of the times the media just goes back to that fucking South Park episode. There are, you know, we're reporting images of, pillaging, looting, property destruction, and rape. Oh my God, there are people raping each other? No, we haven't seen that. We're just reporting.
We're just reporting. Yeah, it's a poof of cloud.
And so it's like, I don't have any, I don't necessarily believe that that's what's happening. At this point, there is no proof. You can't just say it, but that's what happens, unfortunately, right now.
If you want to redirect a bunch of dogs, throw some treats in the air. You know, and they're all going to chase those. And that's what keeps happening. Rand Paul with his FBI thing and all what other is it? When Democrats are like, eliminate student loans, they're just trying for campaign dollars. They know it's never going to happen in this economy. He's never going to rock the boat that much. You're just saying it for political points. And it's the same thing. Defund the FBI is something that they know is never going to happen, right? Like, nobody was shouting defund the Supreme Court like I was when they mm-hmm. when Roe the decision for whatever came down, you know.
Yep. So nope, it's really funny to me because I just keep saying, "Hey, when did you become Antifa?"
I've always been. I am Antifa.
Well, I mean, you should be anti-fascist by default. I mean, we kind of fought a war about it, and I mean, like I tell people, you know, well, what does fascism look like? Russia right now.
Yeah,
Russia is actually a fascist state.
Or CPAC with blood and soil nationalists like Viktor Orban getting a standing ovation.
Oh, God.
And see, that's how I know, because Republicans are 22% of America. The people that are CPAC crazy are about 17% of that. The people that are MAGA crazy are about 8 to 10% of that. And the people that are the 1%ers, 3%ers are literally 3% of that. There's no way that's a majority without getting independent voters on board. You know what I mean? Right,
exactly. No, I think it's going to be, and like we've talked about before, you know, it's going to be one of those things. Like, I don't expect Donald Trump to win simply because, you know,
I don't either.
I mean, things are not good with Biden as it stands right now. But if it comes down to, you know, betting against Trump, it's not going to be close again.
I keep asking people, what's your problem with Biden? And they can't give me one except for the fact that he talks to me like I'm a child. But here's the funny thing. So imagine Donald Trump running for president alongside Marco Rubio, Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, Nikki Haley, and Liz Cheney as an independent. Instead of having the Green Party siphoning off votes from the Democrats, now suddenly you have the DeSantis Trump split, and then Rubio tries to normalize that with Nikki, but But then people are like the independents getting 30%. It's so they're just fracturing themselves. They can't rally around a message that America wants to hear. And Democrats are getting things done in a way that makes them look like it's happening now when it doesn't happen for 5 years. And kudos to them for that.
Yeah, I mean, they finally have gotten some stuff done in the last couple of months.
Eventually.
That you know, well, things that they said that they were going to get done, you know,
20 years ago.
Yeah. But they've gotten it done. They've gotten it passed. They've they've gotten some forward momentum in the last couple of months that they just haven't the entire time.
We're going to lower drug prices eventually, 2026. Don't worry about it.
Right. And it was done through budget reconciliation, so it can be undone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a real mess.
But what's happening, I think, is all I wanted was, and this is what I was tweeting when you came in, was all I ask is that you ask. And I think Republican voters for the first time are like, huh. Like, they're asking the question. They're still siding with Trump, but they're like, I don't know. I'm going to pay attention to this guy. And that's all I've ever asked.
I heard some really great conversation yesterday because I went out and got myself some breakfast, you know, at just a little bar. It has good chicken fried steak. I like it.
Mm.
So, like, you know, they're older, you know, I would say probably 60s. Bunch of white dudes. Probably work construction or, you know, at least in manual labor. And they get on the subject of, you know, all of this shit. And they get one of them asked, well, did you vote for Trump? And he goes, I've been a Republican voter my entire life and I couldn't vote for Trump in the last election. Didn't vote for Biden either. It's like, I've moved kind of towards the center, maybe, you know, or maybe it's what the Republican Party used to be. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm voting for.
Yeah.
It's like I'll never be a Democrat, don't get me wrong. I think they're socialists, but I can't vote for Trump. You know, exactly. And I think you see a lot of Republicans like that, you know.
Yeah.
They're, you know, hardworking, but they're just tired of the bullshit. They're tired of the crazy bullshit.
The same one that could support AOC and Liz Cheney.
You know. And so
not AOC, Katie Porter. Katie Porter's my favorite.
They wouldn't support Katie Porter.
Wow.
Maybe a Tammy Duckworth.
Okay. Okay.
You know, somebody who's at least been there and done that.
Yeah.
You know, war veteran, lost her legs. Mm-hmm.
You know, like a rational, technocratic sort of Democrat or
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I just want my country to be safe, and I don't care who's doing that. I need to know it's safe, and I don't feel like it's safe certain hands, in like Jim Jordan's hands. You know what I mean?
Christ, no.
No.
No, no. And that's the thing is like, you know, I don't feel like it's safe in McCarthy's hands either, because the dude... Oh,
gross. No.
Like, you look at what he was saying on his text messages and what he's saying publicly. Like, the dude is fucking spineless. He has more fucking waffle than, you know, fucking Obama.
Waffle House?
Did. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. Chicken and waffles. And this dude literally is just that. He's a chicken and he waffles.
Yeah. He represents the California's 25th district. And every once in a while, I know that because every once in a while, I just have to tweet, how is he not an embarrassment? How is Jim Jordan not an embarrassment? God, Matt Gaetz is my fucking representative, and I am embarrassed. Like, how are these... At some point, you have to get something done, and just yelling, Willie Gohmert? Like, what? I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, how do you support Rand Paul when there's alternatives there? Like, Mitch McConnell, there was a flood in Kentucky, killed people. Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell, never showed up. Joe Biden did.
Like, this is what's weird is like this area is like, I'm looking at it. This area is fucking north of LA, just north of LA.
Right. Bakersfield?
No, Bakersfield south.
Okay.
No, you know, you're looking at just, you know, to the west of Thousand Oaks.
Okay. It's more farm country in that area, right?
Yeah,
he has mostly agriculture and they lean Republican. That's the part of California that wants to split off, right?
one of the parts. Like,
right, one of the parts.
Jesus, yeah. You know, I remember when they tried to do the whole six Californias thing, and I'm like, yeah.
Right. I just don't. The problem is that there's more and more people leaving Democratic Party and Republican Party for being independent, and they have no representation. Mm-hmm. Like, so 45% to 47% of the population has no representation at all.
Well, it's because right now it's like the vocal part of these parties is far left and far right.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, that's what you're hearing. And if that's what you hear and you can't get on board with that message, well, you don't think the Democrat Party is for you or the Republican right. Party is for you.
Right.
And so I'm saying that, you know, if you know, somebody could figure it out, and it turns out they don't think it's Andrew Yang either. No, but having a central, like a centrist party is probably what is going to be, you know, if there's ever mm-hmm. a party that gets established, that's going to be the one that will take a foothold.
Can you imagine if Liz Cheney is the founder of the Independent Party? Like, what that does to the Cheney name suddenly?
Well, and I, you know, think about like classical Republican and classical Democratic values weren't really mm-hmm. all that far off from each other.
Right.
Like, you know, when you look at, you know, what some of them were like at the turn of the century, they really weren't that far off from each other. But, and that's why they could work together.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it feels like you're literally like, you know, if the earth was flat, you know, this, the left is on the far left of the map, the right is on the far right of the map, and there's this giant fucking ocean in between. And then there's, yeah. there's like this island that may or may not be there, this Atlantis, where, you know, the far, you know, people who are on the left and on the right meet and they go, huh, it's not so crazy here.
And that's, you know, where that place is. That's Public Access America.
Yeah.
Honest to God, because that's what I love is that we're both on those ends of the spectrum, like in our own. If you have two parties, if I would be shoved into the Democratic side, I think you'd be shoved more into the conservative side, you know,
somewhat
and that's okay. But we can still talk and we ask people to meet us here in the middle. And I love that. I'll never be so far. But all right, yeah, wait a minute. I'm not going to be so I was telling somebody. I'll wrap it up. I was telling Marco from Audiopong is that we both agree. I could get you on certain beliefs that libertarians have, as you could get me on any belief that a progressive has. Like, how are you going to pay for it? What are you going to cut? We could do that, but we don't do that. What we do is we meet in a ground where we say, what would a human want? And in the end, I think that's what's most important, because neither one of us has a political side to it. It's we pull these political stories down and say, what would a human do with this same situation?
What's the goal? What, you know, can we agree on the end goal? Okay, now yeah. you know, instead of just, you know, your vision or my vision, how do we make the goal
right? And that's, how do we think about that?
And that's the real answers is that in order to meet, you know, make the goal, sometimes you have to give up something you want, and that's for everybody,
right? But you can talk about it.
Exactly.
Thanks for being here.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.